All right, well, it's going to be a great, exciting day. And to start it off, our first teacher is originally from North Carolina and migrated out west with her husband. And her whole family followed, most of the family followed, which is a nice thing. She is obviously a wife, mom, an artist, both music and visual. You'll see some of that, evidence of that later on in this weekend. One of the super nice things that I remember about her is she can teach God's word, or she can teach you about communicable diseases and vaccines with a tenderness and a love and a smile that is just awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, Angela Lamb.
All right. God bless you guys. Please be seated. Get myself set up here. You can take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings. You can find that in your Old Testament. We're actually going to look at two different sections from 2 Kings today to start off. But I thought for this morning, we would take a little reality check time. We're going to look at what's really going on in life. And I subtitled it, Seeing Past the Five Senses and Not Being Afraid. So if you turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, that's where we'll begin. And verse 15 says, And when the servant of the man of God there is Elisha, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? Can you imagine waking up and just seeing like an army surrounding your city? That would be pretty nerve-wracking. Verse 16, And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of chariots of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That was a reality check. This is what was really going on in that situation. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire in the spiritual realm that were on their side. Now, let's look at how this scary situation gets taken care of. Verse 18. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. He was talking about that army surrounding the city. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So Elisha prays for these people to be smitten with blindness, and then he leads them to a different place, like, oh, it's actually over here, guys. Follow me. I got you. How often do we get in a tough situation that looks impossible by the five senses, like you being surrounded by an enemy army, and we get worried? Well, I think this record is such a great example that God can always make a way. There are so many records in the Word where the situation looked impossible, and God came through in such an unexpected way to give his people the victory. I think he kind of likes to do it, like, in a fun way. How about the parting of the Red Sea? He didn't, like, build a bridge over it. He's like, I'll just part these waters, make them walls on your sides. How about the feeding of the 5,000 plus, the walls of Jericho crumbling down, and there's so many other examples. Here, God struck this army with blindness, and Elisha led them to another place. How about that for a secret weapon? We can always remember, no matter what it looks like with our five senses, that God has lots of tools up his sleeve. But how about those horses and chariots of fire that the servant couldn't see until God opened his eyes? There's so much more going on in the spiritual realm than what we can see with our physical eyes. The adversary, I think, tries to discourage us and make us afraid by what we can see sometimes with our eyes, but let's not forget, God is so much bigger than what we can actually see with our physical eyes, and so much bigger than our circumstances. Even if you just want to look at the numbers, I'm kind of a numbers person. Steve alluded to that with the whole vaccine thing. Anyway, I like data. I did that for about a decade for my job. And so I like numbers. So I thought, you know, it's kind of funny if you just take a minute just to assess the numbers for what's really going on. So I'll call this my what's really going on math. I think sometimes, you know, the adversary tries to make it seem like, oh, there's like a lot of stuff going on in his kingdom. There's a lot of devil spirits and all this. Well, I was thinking about it. I was like, well, let's not forget, there's like roughly twice as many angels as devil spirits. Remember like the one-third rebelled against God and went with the adversary? How about the two-thirds that stayed with God, you know? That's like severely outnumbered. So that's just one thing. But let's look at 2 Kings chapter 19. We'll look at a record here really quick of what just one angel can accomplish, okay? Just one angel. Speaking of these angels that there's so many of. 2 Kings 19:14. We're going to just quickly read a few verses from this record, but you'll probably remember the record where Hezekiah gets all kinds of threatening words from Sennacherib. He's threatening God's people. And Hezekiah spreads out the letter before the Lord and prays for God's help. That's where we're at here. Verse 14, it says, "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God." You know what a lot of these records have in common? A simple prayer. Just let that sink in for a minute. We'll see what amazing things can happen when we just pray to God. Okay, flip down to verse 20. It says, "Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, I have heard." And we'll skip a lot of this, but it's well worth reading the whole record. Skip down to verse 32. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with a shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." So I wanted to read that to get a little context, but here's the verse we are coming to for our what's really going on math, okay? Here's our angel verse, verse 35. "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord, one angel, went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." So that's why we came to this section, our numbers game. Here you go. One angel smote 185,000 dudes in one night. That's like, I mean, that would take me a lot of time, too. I'm just saying. That's just one example of what one angel can do. And there's so many other records that we could have gone to like that, but I like this one because it gives you a real nice number there. And remember Jesus Christ said he could have had more than 12 legions or more than 72,000 angels come to help him if he wanted to? Just for fun, I took 72,000 and multiplied it by 185,000 that this one angel smote here. That would be more than 13,320,000,000 guys. If, I mean, you know, I don't know what all the angels are doing. I'm sure they have jobs and stuff. But look, if we need help, we have so much help on our side. God has so many resources. And it really makes you kind of think about that record a little bit differently when Joshua was talking to the captain of the Lord's host. Wow, like that's intense. Think about that army for a second, how much power they have. So that's who's on our side for angels. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1 really fast. It's a little bit of what's really going on. Hebrews 1:13 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" We've got angels on our side. I think I forget about that a lot of times, you know? But these ministering spirits, some might call them guardian angels, God can send them to help us if we need it. And as we've seen, they're some seriously capable beings. Okay, so that's our what's really going on math on angels. Now, add to that, every single Christian on earth has Christ in them. Do you know how many Christians there are on earth? There's actually a lot of Christians on earth. So turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're kind of in the neighborhood here. 1 John, in the back of your Bible, chapter 4. It says, ye are of God, oh, sorry, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So every Christian, every single Christian on earth with spirit in them, greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. That includes every single one of us that has spirit. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Every single Christian can do the same and greater works than Christ. What? So basically, we've got a ton of Christ walking around the earth, ton of people with Christ in them. That's amazing. That's a ton of power, a ton of light. And there are a lot of Christians out there, sons of God with power. We have authority. We are able to operate all nine manifestations, work miracles, access to God to pray to him. We looked at a couple records where people just prayed, and then look what God did. You know, it wasn't some, they had to do something really hard. They just simply prayed to God, and those circumstances changed so much. God brings that deliverance. So we have an insane amount of power. And so we've looked at angels in our math. Look at these, all these Christians everywhere with Christ in them. That's a ton of people. And then add to that in our math here that God is way more powerful than the adversary. He's almighty. You know what almighty means? Almighty, yes. There's nothing he can't do. His power is limitless. He actually made the universe. I looked at that with this group a couple years ago. It's insane when you start looking at how big some of this stuff is. Like one star is like so much bigger than anything. Oh my gosh, it's just crazy how big it is. That's God. He made that stuff. And it says, oh, and he made the stars also, like for fun. No big deal. That's our God. He's Almighty God. And that's our Father. And then add to that, the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord right now. He's already overcome the adversary, and God has put all things under the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. He is our Lord, and he has given us the victory. So when you do a quick comparison of what's really going on, I think it's really clear that we have so much power and help on our side. The adversary may try to make our circumstances seem intimidating or a big problem sometimes, but that's just scare tactics. Whatever we face, God is greater. God is almighty. Jesus Christ is our Lord, and we belong to God's kingdom right now. We are legal citizens of heaven. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. Let that sink in. Well, either this stuff is actually really, really true, or it's not. But guess what? It is. It is true. And so if we recognize that, what power we have access to, it's amazing. The only question is, are we going to believe it? God doesn't change. Jesus Christ doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. So the only variable is, are we going to believe it? And what are we going to do when we face a challenge or a circumstance that is against us? Are we going to shrink in doubt and fear, or are we going to throw our shoulders back as sons of God, pray to God, and trust that he is well able and willing to take care of us? And just think about all the resources he has to use. He has anything in the world that he wants to use to help us. Let's turn to James chapter 2. Hebrews, James chapter 2. We're going to look at a verse that is a crazy verse. You guys ready for a crazy verse this morning? I love crazy verses. Okay, James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. How crazy is that? You know that word tremble means to shudder, to be struck with extreme fear. Well, dang. It says the devils also believe and tremble. I guess they know what's really going on. They're afraid. Maybe we ought to recognize the greatness of God's power too, the greatness of our Father's power, and that we are on the winning side, and in fact, the side that has already won. So God can always make a way, even if things look impossible. God is the God of the impossible. Our Lord and Savior was born out of impossible situations. He rose again when everyone thought it was impossible. We can ask God to open our eyes that we may see, just like Elisha prayed for his servant. We can learn to see with our spiritual eyes and see what's really going on. We can pray for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we may really, truly know the exceeding greatness of his power to those of us who believe. So maybe it's time we truly recognized who we are, whose we are, and who we serve. Maybe it's time we really, truly recognized how big this all is, how real this all is, and what's really at stake, what power we truly have. Maybe it's time we recognize what's really going on. So thank you. That's what I wanted to share. Our next teacher is here all the way from the other side of the country at the northernmost point, Bowdoin, Maine. He is an author, a teacher of God's Word, and a fellowship coordinator. And recently he has traveled down to Central America, which is kind of near and dear to my heart because I studied Spanish growing up, so I think it's really cool. But he studied down to Central America to get together with the fellowships there and to teach God's Word. And he actually taught through an interpreter, which I think is really cool. It must have been an interesting thing. So he has a book out that he's written, and he's actually getting that book translated into Spanish as well. So it's pretty neat. He's connecting with all those fellowships. And we also know him as Mike's dad. So ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Steve Janes.
Thank you very much. That was great.